When I was 21, I went on a vacation to Washington. It was somewhere I'd been dreaming of going since I was a kid. My plans were to hang out around Seattle and stay in the city for the most part, but I figured it was only right to go camping in the massive forest and woods that Washington had to offer. I only wanted to camp for a night and then head back to the city. I'd been camping a few times before, but never on my own, so this was a first. I rented out some camping gear from a local shop and found a small trail with camping grounds. I drove down there and got going as soon as the sun was up. The path to the camping grounds was very easy and took me less than 3 hours. It was basically just a flat plot of land that had some clear signs of previous campers being there, like old equipment, rusty cooking pots, and some trash. I set up my tent off to the side next to a tree where the area was clear. As far as I knew, there weren't any special sights to see nearby, so I was just there to chill and be at peace. At sunset, I got a fire going and brought out my Ziploc bag that I had prepared full with s'mores ingredients. I made an unhealthy amount, and when I was done, I just sat next to the campfire and spent some time thinking. That was until I was interrupted. A man came up behind me from seemingly nowhere and sat at the other end of my campfire.
"Oh, hey, you camping around here too?"
I asked, trying to make the strange encounter less awkward. He looked at me, but he didn't respond to my question. I looked around behind me and to the sides to see if anyone else was here, but it was just us. A moment went by before he stood up and walked away. I don't recall if I was more nervous, creeped out, or confused, but nonetheless, I stayed there and kept my eyes open for the next hour. Eventually, I put my fire out and went inside my tent, staying up for another hour before falling asleep. I woke up in the middle of the night to a strange sound, the crackle of a campfire. I opened my eyes and saw the orange light flickering in front of my tent. My heartbeat grew faster and louder as I unzipped the tent. My campfire had been rekindled, and 4 men sat around it, all looking directly at me. One of them was the same man who'd come by previously. I slowly stepped out of the tent and looked at each of them in horror. Before I could say anything, one of them spoke something in a foreign language, and then 2 of them got up and grabbed me, patting me down and taking my phone and wallet. These guys were way bigger than me, and there was no point in resisting. After a good search, they then dragged me away from the campsite. We walked for a good 20 minutes out into the woods, and I was holding back tears, pretty sure this was the end. But then they shoved me on the ground, hit me over the head, and ran away. I think they were trying to knock me out, or at least daze me enough to not follow them. But I felt like it was pretty obvious that, given the circumstances, I wasn't going to go strolling back toward them. I got up and immediately started jogging in the direction that I thought would take me closer to the interstate that ran between the forest. Once all the adrenaline was out, though, my head was killing me and it was hard to think straight. Not to mention, it was pitch black and I was stumbling over fallen logs and tree roots, and had no way of knowing if I was walking straight or not. Then, I'd say about 30 minutes into walking, I passed out. It was likely from a mix of everything, but when I regained consciousness, I realized that I had even less of an idea of which direction to go in. I walked in what I prayed was the right direction, knowing that there was a chance that I could just get even more lost. After an hour of seeing nothing but large trees and dark woods, I spotted a light in the distance. It was a flashlight, moving around like someone was carrying it. As I approached, I screamed for help, only to see the figure of a man turn toward me and shine the light in my direction, followed by 3 more figures appearing behind him. Without hesitating, I sprinted away, but they didn't seem to follow me. From that encounter, although scaring the shit out of me again, I saw the way they were walking and was able to keep myself going in that direction. 2 more hours of walking, and at the break of dawn, I reached the interstate. After another half hour, I finally waved down a car and was safe from there. After getting back to the city and contacting police, I got my car back and gave the officers the best description of the events that I could give. I still had to pay for the lost rental items, but that was far from the worst of it. Lucky for me, the men who robbed and attacked me didn't seem to be in the killing business, but leaving me out in a vast forest like that in the middle of the night was giving me slim chances at best. As odd as it sounds, if I hadn't seen them for a second time, although as horrifying as it was, it's likely the only reason I'm still here today. I was on a road trip heading back from a job interview I had across the states. I stayed for an extra couple days to make it a mini vacation, which was why I drove instead of taking a plane. Anyway, it was pouring outside, which would usually make for a relaxing drive, but it was the middle of the night, so it made visibility difficult. Most of the drive consisted of going through dense forest on long one-lane roads. The drive was supposed to be around 10 hours, and obviously with rain, I expected a slight delay. It was just past 1 a.m. when I checked my phone and saw it was 62 miles until the next turn. For some reason though, Apple Maps was taking me on a different route from the way I'd taken before. I didn't see it as a problem at all, and continued for a while, maybe 30 minutes before I glanced over at my phone again. It still said I was 62 miles away from the next turn. I looked closer and my car wasn't even moving on the map. I tried clicking on it and restarting the app, but it was frozen on that screen. To make things worse, all it said was, "Turn right in 62 miles, with no road or street name." Without that, I had no idea where I was going or when to turn, other than a tiny memory of a street name it had shown me before. It was one of those where if I saw the street sign, then I'd recognize and remember it, but I couldn't fully remember it on my own. Despite the inconvenience, I continued driving for a while in hopes that it was just an internet connection thing, and once I was out of the dense forest, it would fix itself. An hour or so of driving later, I was still in the forest and the rain was still pouring down, but I saw an intersection coming up. On the connecting street, there was a truck parked on the side, and I figured they were probably having the same problem I was having. I slowed and looked at the street sign, and to my surprise, I thought I actually recognized it. It could have just been some coincidence or a false memory due to my lack of sleep, but I ended up turning and taking my chances. At first, I was fairly confident in my choice, thinking I might have actually made the right call, but after an hour of driving, I was still in the forest. I knew for sure that I didn't spend even nearly this much time driving through the forest on the way there. So something was wrong. I checked my phone and still had no luck, but up ahead I saw a faint glow of a billboard sign. A motel, right there in the middle of this isolated forest. It seemed like an odd choice for a motel, but I pulled into the parking lot so I could safely figure out my situation. The whole lot was empty, not a single car. A minute later though, that same truck I'd seen back at the intersection pulled in and parked a few spots down. I couldn't see much through the rain, so I just ignored them and continued with trying to get my phone to work. I want to say I probably sat there for 15 minutes before giving up. Just before deciding to go into the motel to either ask for help or get a room, a knock at my window startled me.
"Hey, can you help me?"
he yelled through the rain. I rolled the window down a crack, letting rain splash all over me as I asked what he wanted. He said he needed some directions and told me a very specific address, as if I were to know where it was.
"Sorry, man, I'm just as lost as you are."
He frowned, then smiled and said to have a nice night, walking back through the rain to his truck. After a minute, I got out and ran into the motel. The front room was dark and empty. Nobody was at the desk. I leaned over the counter to see if someone was in the back, but then the front door opened behind me. I turned and saw that man from the truck outside. He was soaked, with water dripping from his long hair and beard. The look on his face was cold and sinister, and he had one hand suspiciously shoved in his pocket. In that instant, I quickly tried walking past him. He stayed firmly in my way, but for whatever reason, he didn't stop me from squeezing past him and out the door. As I quickly walked to my car, I heard the man exit the building behind me and his footsteps catching up. I got in and turned on my car just as the man came up to my window, and through the rain, I heard the sound of my door latch click. Thank God my car auto locks, because as soon as I heard that and looked up at him, he stared at me with disturbingly rage-filled eyes and began forcefully trying to open the door. He was pulling so hard, the entire car was rocking back and forth. I pulled out and drove off so fast, I almost ran him over. I got back to the intersection and sped down the way I was going before. Thankfully, I made it to a city after 20 miles and was able to get help. It turned out the motel I was at had closed down a couple months back, and for some reason the sign still worked, which nobody could explain to me. I don't know what that man's intentions were, and whether or not he had planned that whole thing out, but one thing I am sure of is that I got very lucky with my escape from that motel. I lived on my own for the first time in my life when I turned 25. It made me want to explore doing other things by myself too, and one thing I'd always wanted to do was go for a long hike. It might sound a little weird, but it was just something that I thought sounded like an accomplishment to do solo. I had no experience in any outdoorsy activities, so this was my first big trail. Online it said it was 8 hours, so I packed as much water and food as I could, and on Monday morning, I set out on the hike. The first thing I noticed when I started walking was how thin the trail was. I didn't know if this was normal or not, but it was barely wide enough to walk on without stepping on the borders of the trail. While being thin, it was still very defined, and I knew I'd be back well before dark, so I wasn't worried about it. Although I didn't do much hiking, I was still in decent shape, so walking long distances wasn't an issue. Most of the way up the trail, I was feeling great and having no problem, but as I kept going, it did start to wear me down a bit. I checked my watch constantly, and once I was 6 hours in and still hadn't reached the end, I was starting to worry. Supposedly, the end of the trail was a small overlook of the valley, so there was no way I could just walk past it or miss it somehow, but according to the website I'd seen earlier, I was 2 hours behind. Then I started to think maybe it meant the trail was 8 hours to complete one way and was not including the walk back. But I just knew that I had to turn back at this point if I wanted to be out of the forest before dark. I turned around and began walking back the way I came. As I walked back, I noticed a few things that I hadn't noticed on the way up. Specifically, there was a line of footprints that went perpendicular to the path, going right across from one end of the forest to the other, and just kept going as far as I could see. I thought maybe I didn't see it before because of the different point of view, but I was already a bit worried, and this wasn't helping my case. Then, 3 hours into the hike back, and nearly 9 hours total being in the forest, the trail I was walking on started to widen. One thing I knew for sure was that the trail was thin the entire time up, so when I saw this, my stomach tightened. I didn't know how, but I had gotten onto the wrong trail, maybe taken a side path accidentally. I stood there like a terrified child for a few minutes, unsure of my next move. The sun was already setting, and if I had taken the wrong turn in the daytime, how would I make sure to follow my way back and not make the same mistake in the dark? I knew my choices were limited, so I had to turn back again and hope for the best. I started walking, but not long into it, I saw footprints again. Not the same ones from before, and I knew these weren't there just 10 minutes ago. I looked out into the forest in the direction they were going, but it was now too dark to see much. Soon, I couldn't see anything. The moonlight provided a dim overcast, but I hadn't packed the flashlight. It was the middle of April, too, so the nights would get pretty cold where I lived. As I walked, the only sound was my footsteps on the gravel and the soft noises the forest made. That was until I heard something ahead. Someone else walking on the gravel. I stopped and stared ahead into the dark, but after a few steps, the sound went away. I carefully moved forward until I saw the footprints in the gravel going straight across the trail. I turned my phone light on and pointed it into the forest. It was still too dim, but I knew someone was out there.
"Hello?"
I called out. There was nothing but silence. I held my phone light up still, and after a moment, I saw a very slight fog from someone's cold breath rise from behind a nearby tree. They were maybe 10 feet away from me into the forest, but seeing as they were hiding made me scared as to what they were up to, and why exactly they didn't want to be seen. I quickly walked further down the trail, and after 30 minutes, I found where I had accidentally turned off. Several hours later, I made it out and got to my car. I hated myself for weeks after that, for having gotten myself into such a bad situation, but it only got worse. I think it was exactly 3 weeks since my hike, when I saw on the news that two bodies were found in the forest I had hiked in. They didn't give exact locations, but it was in the area near the trail I had taken. I don't think they found who had done it, but I'm almost positive that at one point I was standing just 10 feet away from them, close enough to see their cold breath in the dark.